Okay, Revelation chapter 21 tonight. I want to read something, hopefully encourage you tonight. I tell you, the Word of God is the only thing that can in these days in which we live. But I'm glad we have the Word of God to just give us what we need from time to time. The book of Revelation, of course, during the last book of the Bible, is neglected by most people. I think the devil designed it that way because we find in this book, we find the devil's downfall and his doom in the book of Revelation. We see also that in chapter 1 and verse 3, there's a special promise to those that will read it. We find that Revelation means an unveiling. This is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, is what the book is called, really. We find in chapter 1, we find the glory of Christ. In chapter 2 and 3, we find the grace of Christ. In chapter 4 through chapter 21, we find the government of Jesus Christ. So it is truly the revelation of Jesus Christ. We find that this is a tremendous book. Many people are afraid of it. Many people don't understand it. To be honest with you, there's a lot about the Bible and all the books that we don't understand. But because it's a book from God, you know, we can't understand God, but thank God the Spirit of God that lives within us will enable us to help to know what we need to know, that we can live in this world like we ought to live. So tonight we're going to begin in chapter 21. Let's read verse number 1 here. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. I want you to notice that last phrase in that fourth verse. It says, for the former things are passed away. That's what we'll talk about tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity tonight to be in your house. We thank you for these that have set aside the things of life and weathered the cold to be here tonight. Dear God, now it's time to open your word. And I pray, God, as we open it, the Holy Spirit will just come and teach us tonight, Lord, what you would have us to know from your word. We're thankful to God that we have your word to give us strength and health and guidance in our life. And I pray now, Lord, as we open it together, Lord, that you would just, may some nugget, may some word or some phrase tonight, Lord, be that each one here needs. God, to give us strength, to give us encouragement tonight. Lord, as we leave here and go into that cold world, Lord, don't want to hear anything about Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful now for everyone that's come. Again, we ask you to bless our pastor, Ms. Ennis, keep him safe. Others that are sick have been mentioned. Brother Bobby especially, I pray for him. Lord, continue to be with him and Ms. Lee and Brother Wheeler. Lord, there's just a lot of sickness. And God, we just bring everyone to you tonight. We ask you, Lord, just to be by them and guide them and help them and give them health and strength every day. Lord, bless your word now as we sit around together in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we find here in this chapter, as John is writing here, he's talking about things that we all would love to see gone. You know, but we see, first of all, in verses 1, we find here what, verse 1 and 2, that is, what John saw, what he saw. Notice what he said. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now we see, first of all, John saw a new heaven and earth. a new heaven and a new earth. You know, that's what we're all looking for, aren't we? We're looking for that place. We see also, he saw the holy city coming down from heaven, descending down from heaven, we see. And we see here also, not only that, but he saw he saw God himself mingled with his people in verse number 3. And we see, first of all, that hope, that new heaven, that holy city descending from heaven. You know, one day, folks, the day is going to break. A new day is going to break for you and for me, one day, the church, and all the shadows of this life, the heartaches, the troubles and all, are going to be behind us. They're going to flee. We won't have to worry about them anymore. There's going to be a new world. It's going to appear, and the former things will pass away. Things that we have gone through, the troubles, the tears, the death, the sorrows, the cries, the pains, and all this is going to be behind us one day. We also see that the new place will be free from trouble and from sorrow that you and I have faced in this world. You know, I can't hardly imagine a place where there's no trouble, no sorrow, no heartache, can you? You hardly imagine it because of the world, the way the world is today. But there is a place that's going to be that way. There is a place. And we see all the effects of these troubles and trials will be done away with in that place. We won't even think about them when we're there. They'll just be behind us, so to speak. No signs, no remembrance shall ever remain of these things. And we find at this place, in the future, sorrow shall be forever removed. What a place, folks. What a place we have in store to go to one day. With all we have to face now, we see that this is what John saw, and this is what he heard in verse number 3. Verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." God himself will mingle with his people in that place. He will mingle with us. You know, now we have the Holy Spirit living within us as God's children. But in this place, God is going to be there. He's going to mingle with us as his people. He's going to be with us where we can visibly see him when he is. And now notice what also God did. In verse number 4, "And God shall, in this place, wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Again, for the former things have passed away." No more crying, no more sorrows, no more pain. You know, the older we get, the more pain we have, right? If you haven't got there yet, you will one day. You know, this body declines, this body is just dying daily. And as we get older, we have more pain in our life. And we're longing to get away from that. We don't like pain. I don't like pain. But I know one thing, one day we're going to have a different body, we know that. And all this pain and all this heartaches and crying and all we're going through will be gone. So we see the former things are passed away. Now, John is writing here concerning the physical things, okay? He talks about the tears, the death, the sorrow, the crying, the pain. And all these one day will be behind us, so to speak. And we won't have to deal with those things anymore. But I want to focus tonight also on some spiritual things. Some spiritual things. Some opportunities that you and I have today that we won't have over there. Some things that we need to be reminded of, that we need to be doing here before we get there. These things are important in this life. Number one, I want us to talk about, these are going to be opportunities, okay, for the Christian. Number one, the things that's going to pass away that we ought to cherish the most in our life as a Christian is witnessing will be gone. Witnessing will be gone. There'll be no more chance to tell somebody about Jesus. There won't be any need to talk about Jesus in heaven because everyone there knows him, right? So witnessing one day will be gone. The time will be gone. Therefore, we need to take heed today that it's going to pass away. It's going to pass away. You know, today you might have witnessed to the last person you ever witnessed to. Tomorrow you may witness to the last person that you ever have a chance to witness to. You know, one day witnessing is going to be over. One day you won't go to a door and knock on the door and kind of be a little bit leery within inside you of who's behind that door and what they're going to say when they open the door. That's going to all be over with. You know, but we need to be reminded of, that's why we're here, folks. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Therefore, it's our obligation to be a witness to everybody, no matter where we are, where they are. Witnessing is very important. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I really believe that witnessing is one of the most important things that we as children of God can ever do. That's why we're here. God didn't save us just to live here. He saved us to be a witness. He saved us to be to tell others about Jesus Christ while we're here on this earth. Witnessing is very, very important in our lives. In Romans chapter 10, I want you to begin with reading with me on verse number 8. Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Says, for with the what? Heart, man believeth to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all. And all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Notice verse 14 has got three different questions. Three questions. Number one is, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? The lost cannot call on the Lord to be saved until they believe, folks. The lost cannot call on the Lord to be saved until they believe. Now, what do they have to believe? They have to believe the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. We find, first of all, the lost has to believe that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Look at verse number 9 in chapter 10. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and what? Shall believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. So first of all, we see that the lost people cannot, they must believe first before they can call upon him. They must believe on Jesus Christ. Believe the fact that he died for them. That's why Jesus came. He came to die. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Therefore, he came to die for all mankind. See, notice the second question. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? The lost cannot believe in him until they hear the good news of salvation. They can't hear it. They can't believe until they hear. Now, how are they going to hear? We're going to have to tell them. We're going to have to tell them. And how are we going to tell them? We're going to have to find them. We're going to have to go to them. We're going to have to talk to them. Okay? We're going to have to give a tract, or talk to them about the Lord, read the Bible to them. Somehow, they got to hear. And they can hear because of witnessing. The opportunity of witnessing today, one day it's going to pass. One day it's going to pass. I wonder, have I done my best? Am I doing my best in witnessing to people today in my life as a Christian? It's a big responsibility, folks. It really is. Have I witnessed to somebody this week? Have you witnessed to somebody this week? Would it bother you if you couldn't witness anymore? Would it bother you if you couldn't talk to anybody else about Jesus Christ? Witnessing is very important. One day it's going to pass. It's going to be no need for it as far as we're concerned, we as children of God. Notice the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He had to hear to believe, did he not? The eunuch. We also see that Paul, on the road to Damascus, he had to hear before he believed. He had to hear it. We see Cornelius, he had to hear before he believed. The Philippian jailers, they had to hear before they could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They cannot believe until they have heard the good news of salvation. Anybody? And we, it's our responsibility to tell people. We're to be witnesses. What is a witness? Someone said a witness is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. A witness. You know, I found love. I found peace, happiness, and joy when I found Jesus. When he found me, I should say. He was searching for me. I wasn't searching for him. But whenever I trusted Christ as my Savior, I found what I was looking for in my life. And I'm thankful tonight that I did. Now, notice the third question. How shall they hear without a witness or a preacher? How shall they hear? Folks, if you and I don't tell people about Jesus, they won't be told. Did you realize we're probably the only church in town that's door knocking?
Yes, sir.
Did that shock you? We are probably the only church in town door knocking. We have been visiting and go up and knock on doors at people's houses from different churches, and they say, you know, I appreciate y'all doing this. But our church don't do that. This church is probably the only church in this town that does any kind of door knocking. Folks, never let it stop. This is something we all want to continue to do, is door knocking. Knocking on doors for people, for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, the lost cannot hear the good news of salvation unless there's a witness. There's a witness. Somebody told you about Jesus, didn't they? That's why you're saved tonight. That's why you're in God's house. Somebody told you.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that they didn't stop before they got to you? I am. They told me about Christ. Therefore, if I trusted Christ as my Savior, not that very time, but later on I did. It's because of their witness though, that I trusted Christ as my Savior. See, so we see that the lost cannot hear the good. They cannot hear the good news of salvation without a witness. On the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people saved. You know why? Because previous to that, there was 120 people out witnessing. There were witnesses in that community, in that area. That's why people got saved, folks. Listen, people will never be saved unless there's people out witnessing and telling them about Jesus Christ. It just don't happen. It just don't happen. We need to be busy. You know, I appreciate it. We have ladies that come up once a week, go visiting. They're always wanting somewhere to go, and I thank God for that. They're out here doing their job, doing what they can to try to reach people for Christ. Most of you, a lot of you, raise your hand, going on visitation all week. That's great. May God help us to continue to do that, because this is very important, folks. It's very important to witness to people, to witness to people. The eunuch was saved. Why? Because Peter witnessed to him. Philip witnessed to him. Paul was saved because of Stephen's witness. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Paul, the great apostle, was saved because of the witness of Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, look at verse number 54. The Bible says, when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Speaking of Philip, speaking. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was who?
Saul.
Who we know now was Paul. So we see here, and of course they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So we see here that Paul was saved because of the witness of Stephen. Stephen. You know, it's an amazing thing how people influence us in a positive or negative way. People have influenced you in the way, in a positive way, in order that you might be saved. And I thank God tonight for that. I really do. Cornelius and his house were saved because Peter witnessed. The Philippian jailer, he was saved. Why? In his house, because Paul and Silas witnessed. They said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What did he say? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thy house, and thou shalt be saved." Man, what a promise. What a blessing. The witness, see, you're saved because someone witnessed to you. You're saved because someone witnessed to you tonight. The lost cannot be saved without a witness. They'll never be saved. You know, we have a lot of people in this world that I believe are not saved. We have a lot of people today that are going to a lot of quote churches, but they're not saved. They need the Lord, folks. They need the Lord in their life. One day, witnessing will cease. Have I done my best? Have you done your best in witnessing? We raise our hand. We'll go out on visitation. Do we go out on visitation? Do we give it our best? All of us probably come up short sometimes. But may we be challenged tonight to realize that witnessing one day is going to be over. It's going to be over. Have you ever in your life, since you've been saved, led one person to Christ? Have you? Have you ever led one person to Christ since you've been saved? My, if you haven't, pray and ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. I'm going to tell you, folks, it's like being saved all over again. It's like being saved all over again. It'll put joy in your hearts that you know, like you've known before when you trusted Christ as your Savior. I'm trying to remind myself and trying to remind you, they must have a witness to hear, the lost people. They must hear to believe. They must believe to call. They must call to be saved. And they cannot call until they believe. They cannot call until they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important, folks, utmost importance, that every born-again child of God obey the great commission of God. Go to all the world and preach the gospel. All the world. You say, "I don't have time." Well, we need to make time. You go to work, don't you? There's people at work that are lost, aren't they? You go to the grocery store, don't you? There are people there that are lost. There's people there that need to be saved. There's Christians there that need to be encouraged. Therefore, we need to be a witness. One day, witnessing will be over. You won't have the chance to witness anymore. Does it bother you? Does it bother you? May the Lord help us to stir our hearts. A great opportunity we have today in the year that we live to witness to people. May God stir our hearts, folks. This should be the number one thing in our heart, is to witness to people. Tell people about Jesus Christ. That's what we should be doing. We see why witness. Because it's a command. Jesus has commanded us to be a witness. Therefore, we ought to obey our commander-in-chief, right? Jesus Christ. We need to obey him. But I want you to notice something else about witnessing. Witnessing will get us in fellowship with God, first of all. And witnessing will get us in fellowship with our fellow man. Witnessing does something for us as well as other people that we come in contact with. It helps us. It encourages us. You know, when you go out and talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and you just get the chance to share the word, if they get saved or if they don't get saved, it's still encouraging, folks, when you go out to witness. I think what Dr. Jack Hyle said years ago, whenever you get to a point in your life, you're so down and out and discouraged, you don't know what to do, you've got so many problems, you don't know what to do, the thing you need to do is to drop everything out and get in the streets and try to win people to Christ. Go soul winning. It's a thing that will encourage you. We all need to be encouraged. Don't you need to be encouraged tonight? You look like you do. Kind of sad tonight. You got in here and got warm. You're ready to go to sleep, aren't you? But I'm telling you, folks, the best thing you can do and I can do in my life to help me and encourage me in my walk with Christ is to witness to people. Tell somebody about Jesus. You know, you say, well, Brother Keith, all these places you can't go, go anyway. Go anyway. All they can do is tell you to leave. I think sometimes God's people has got a fear in their hearts. If I go out here, the police is going to arrest me. Well, if they do, witness in prison or jail, wherever it is. Okay? Don't let the things in this world frighten you from being a witness. That's why we're here, to win people to Jesus Christ. If we're not here for that, we just want to walk out of here and shut the doors and lock them and forget church. We're not here just to feed our souls and come in here and sponge all we can on the Word of God. Our preacher stands up here Sunday after Sunday, and he gives us his heart, doesn't he? He really does. He gives his heart to us. Now, the question I ask myself, what am I doing with what he tells me? What am I doing with what he preaches? Am I just putting it in me and taking it? That's for me. That's for me. Me and me and myself and I. I'm not going to share it with anybody. Oh, God, help us tonight. Listen, he preaches his heart out to get us to stir up that we might go out and tell people about Jesus. Amen. That's why it's all about, folks. This is religion and Christianity, I should say, is not a personal thing. We need to tell it to everybody. It's personal to be saved, yes, but it's not personal to keep. It's not personal to keep. So witnessing will get us in fellowship with God. Witnessing will get us in fellowship with one another and mankind. Witnessing also will get us to think about others. Think about others. I tell you, you don't have to go far and knock on doors and you see the heartaches and the burdens and the problems that people have to think about them when you leave. To think about them. We had a place the other week. Walked down the driveway, and there was three or four cars sitting in the driveway. And lo and behold, there was a man laying underneath the car. He was working on a car. We spoke to him. He got up, began to talk to us. We told him who we were and where we were from. He says, I don't go to church. I ain't been to church in years, and I don't want to go to church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If that don't bother you, when you hear somebody say that, something's wrong with us. Something's wrong with us. Here's a man, he might have been, I'll say 50 years old, I don't know how old he was. Nice looking man, healthy man. Don't ever go to church. Don't want to go to church. Those, that's something that bothers me. I think about that person, I thought about that person a lot since we talked to him the other week. And it bothers me about him, you see. Because whenever you witness, you begin to think about others. They have a need in their life. They need the Lord, and they don't even realize it. They're blinded by Satan. He's got them exactly where he wants them to be at. They're blinded. So witnessing will get us to think about others. And thirdly, witness will give us a burden. Just like this man, he's heavy on my heart because I know he's lost. Him and his wife both are lost. And they need Christ. See, witnessing would do something for us as well as for somebody else is what I'm trying to say to you tonight. See, witnessing. Are you witnessing? Witnessing also will get our minds off of our own problems. Our minds off our own problems. If we begin to talk to people. My wife and I went to a grocery store not too long ago. We come to the counter to check out. This girl was there waiting on us. And we could tell she was very troubled. She was very tired, and she was very disgusted. She'd been there longer than she wanted to be there at work. And she just, you know, you could sense in her gestures that she wasn't happy where she was. Well, I spoke to her, and we began to talk to her and try to encourage her because we saw she was down. She was out. She was down. And realized that she had some problems. I knew she had some problems. Make a long story short, after she checked us out and everything, she said, I think my wife asked her sometimes, she said, when are you getting off? She said, I'm getting off as soon as I check y'all out. And we said, well, I hope you have a good day. And she said to us, y'all have made my day better. Y'all have made my day better. Just to talk to her. A person that's downing out. See, we need to forget about our problems and talk to people about Jesus Christ. I agree. When we come to church, we should leave our problems outside. I agree with that. But when we're out there in the world and talking to people, we need to realize they have problems. They have problems, and we need to forget our problems when we're doing that, because they need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So witnessing will get our minds off our own problems, and witnessing will remind us where God's brought us from. Witnessing reminds me of the time that I got saved. I'll never forget, on a Sunday morning, a man stood in the pulpit, he preached a hot hell. I appreciate that. Maybe I'll back up a little bit. There were seven of us guys. On a Sunday morning, after Sunday school, we walked outside and we talked. And we always went, when we come in, the back row was reserved for us. Nobody got it. However, on this Sunday, somebody else got it. We didn't have a choice. We had to come all the way to the front on the second row and sit. That was God's design. Okay? God designed. And the preacher preached on hell that Sunday. I tell you what, I couldn't stand it. I was wringing. I couldn't understand myself. You know, I can't hardly wait for the invitation time to come. Really, I couldn't. But when invitation time come, they stood up and began to sing just as I am. I got up, we all got up, and all seven of us guys went forward and got saved. All of us. The same Sunday. You know why? Because we've been witnessed to, because we've been talked to with a pastor and a Sunday school teacher, a dear old saint in that church, Miss Ruby Hooks. There wasn't a Sunday that came by that when she saw me, she always told me, Keith, I'm praying for you. I thought to myself, what are you praying to me about? But now I know. When I got saved, I know. Because that Sunday, when I got up, after the invitation, got saved and everything, she was not the first one, but she was one that came to me. She told all of us, I've been praying for all you boys. See, she's been a witness to us since we were taught, coming up. She taught, the primary class, like Miss Alford did. She taught that class for years and years. See, she was a witness to me, you see. And because of that, when I witness somebody, it reminds me of where God has brought me from. Where God's brought me from, folks. Listen, I was a sinner, lost, and undone. I did not drink. I did not run in parties. A lot of things I did not do. But I was still as lost as the next lost person. God saved me, and I'm glad he did tonight. I'm thankful tonight for that witness. But you know, folks, listen, witnessing one day is going to be over with. We won't have the chance to witness. You know, we've had these mailouts right here. They're good to mail out, and I want to encourage you to do it and pray over them. We're getting some response from them. People are coming to our church. We've had a couple of people that talked about the college because of it. And that's all good. That's all good. But there's something about a one-on-one conversation with a person that's more effective than that is.
Right.
It's much more effective. You see, don't stop doing that. Keep on doing that. But what I'm trying to encourage you and myself tonight to do is to get out here and witness. Get out here and witness. Talk to people about Jesus Christ. They need to know. One day, witnessing is going to be over with. It's going to be over with. It's going to be finished. One day also, another opportunity that's going to pass away is serving. To serve the Lord is going to all be over with. It's going to all be over with. God demands us in Psalm 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to serve the Lord. To do something for him, no matter how little. Like the guy said Saturday night, if it ain't nothing but mopping floors, doing something for God is good. I don't care what it is, carrying out the trash, cleaning the commodes, whatever it is, just to do something for God is good. It's good. We need to realize this. It demonstrates love. It demonstrates Christ's likeness when we serve Him. You know, it lightens our burdens also. Paul says in Ephesians 2 that we're created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Unto good works. Whatever that may be. To glorify God, to enrich our life, to be a pattern for somebody else, or whatever it is. There's joy in serving the Lord. The psalmist says in Psalm 40 and verse number 8, I delight to do thy will, O Lord, O my God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. So sometime serving is going to be over with. One day you'll come to church the last time. One day you'll drive the bus the last time. One day you'll usher the last time. One day you'll sing in the choir. You'll lead the choir. You'll lead the congregation the last time. Serving God one day is going to be over, folks. Let's don't quit. Let's do it more and more and more and more, because the day is approaching. The day is approaching when the Lord is going to come. Another thing that's going to pass is praying. Praying one day will pass away. We won't need to pray when we get to heaven, will we? We'll be with our Savior. But one day it's going to all be over with. Did you know the prayers of the saints are precious? Turn to Romans chapter 5. The prayers of the saints are precious. Revelation chapter 5. It said Romans. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 8. The Bible says this concerning the prayers of the saints. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, notice, which are the what? Prayers of who? Saints. Your prayers are precious to God. God wants to hear from you. God wants to hear from me. You know, He's waiting every day to hear from us. His prayer, our prayers are precious to Him. Prayer is encouraging. Asking it shall be given to you. Seeking it shall find. Knocking it shall be opened unto you. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Prayer is very, very important. For one day it's going to be over with. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. We will pray nowadays. We have someone to help us. Prayers are answered in Luke 11, 9, verse number 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Praying one day will cease. We won't have the chance to pray no more. We're running out, folks. We're running out. We really are. And last but not least, to give will pass away. To give will pass away one day. I want you to turn to John chapter 12. We're closing here in just a minute. John chapter 12. Giving will be ended one day. John chapter 12, look at verse number 23. John 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, talking about the Greeks who would see Jesus, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it until life eternal. If any man serve me, Jesus says, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Him will my Father honor. Jesus is saying to his disciples, I'm going to give my life. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life. He's laying down the principle here for all of us to follow him. If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to die to self. We're going to have to deny ourselves. We're not going to be able to do everything that people want you to do, to go to places that people want you to go. You're going to have to deny. You know, I say this in sincerity. Our pastor, Dr. Minnis, I've never seen a man that is so willing to deny himself to serve the Lord of anything and everything. He is set face to serve the Lord and nothing else. No matter where he goes, he's serving the Lord. Well, thank God for that, people. We should have, sure have. If we hear that to give will pass away. If I'm going to give my life to Christ, I need to do it today. And one day, I'm going to be too old, I can't. Some things can happen in our lives, and we're not able to do things for the Lord. But as long as we're able, we ought to do it. We ought to do it. To give is very, very important in our lives. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He also said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The former things will pass away. Witnessing, praying, giving, all these things, serving. One day, they're going to be over, folks. They're going to be over. They're going to be over. Have I done my best for Jesus? You know, there's a song. I think the name of it is Jesus is Satisfied. Is Jesus Satisfied with Me or something like that? Jesus is satisfied with me, maybe it is. But the point of the song is to ask, I need to ask myself, is Jesus satisfied with me? Is he satisfied in what I'm doing in my life? Am I satisfied in what I'm doing for him in my life? There's a lot that needs to be done, folks. And we have a great church here that's doing a whole lot. A whole lot of visiting, a whole lot of witnessing. I know that. Folks, I'm trying to say to myself and to you tonight, don't quit. Do more. It's certainly going to benefit you in this life and also in eternity if we'll just be faithful. Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in the Lord is not in vain. What a tremendous passage of Scripture. The former things will pass away. Not only the physical, but also the spiritual. May God help us. May God move us and challenge us to do more for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for these dear people that have come and sat and been very attentive. I pray, God, you would challenge each one of us this week, Lord, to be a witness. Lord, to serve, to give, to pray as we journey. Because, Lord, one day we won't be able to. But, Lord, until then, help us to be faithful. Help us to do our best for you. Lord, watch over us now as we go our separate ways. Keep us all safe. And, Lord, help us again tomorrow to ask you to help us to do what we should do for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.